Good morning, this is Justin Nyoni. Welcome to Justin Nyoni Audio Experience. Today is Friday, the 15th, when I'm recording this, and I've just got something amazing lined up for you. It's 2021, we're still in January, it's the 15th right now, and something broke in the news, I think it must have been a week ago, about the Tesla stock, about the amazing guy, Elon Musk, and he was now the richest person in the world. And I read a book about Elon about probably a couple of months ago, and that guy is amazing. I mean, I don't know what you think, but Elon is I don't know, he's like a superhuman, you know. And Elon got me thinking about a couple of issues, a couple of things that as I looked at his book again, because I got the book off my library and I'm looking at it and going through it again, and so many things just popped up, because he's so many things in one, and just trying to think about what lessons can we get from it, from his life, from his achievements. And first thing is, I think since I've been reading Dr. Jordan Peterson a lot, is how important it is how God packs capacity in people, and how some people have just such a great capacity for productivity, and how that's the differential between the normal guy and what Elon has been able to do. I mean, it's so great. I mean, you think about the amount of companies that he's built. I was just going through my notes again. He built his first company in 1995, and it was called Zip2. And in 1999, Compaq acquired the company for, I think it must have been 100. How much was it? Let me just check. 307 million in 99, and I think he made 22 million from that. And next, he just started another company. I think the company that turned to, it was X.com, it turned to PayPal. And then in 2002, eBay acquired PayPal for $1.5 billion. And he takes that money again. That's when he started SpaceX, he started Tesla, and he started SolarCity. And the three have become mega successes. But, you know, all through that, in between him starting selling PayPal and starting SpaceX and Tesla and SolarCity, was some very, very, very tough decisions, because he took the hard way. You know, he could have just taken his money and invested it in stuff and just chilled, but you know, he decided to take on a very, very difficult problem, building a rocket company, building a car company, are the two most capital intensive things that you can ever think of, and the complication. And if you look at what NASA has been able to do, and the amount of, and I mean, NASA's backed by the government, and the amount of billions they've lost in rockets and stuff like that. So, I mean, getting into a space like that, because the difference between making software and making physical products, and it's physical products, so there's it's much more intense in terms of the capital requirements. So, I mean, this guy, he first, there's a lot in his story. And even if you look back in, because the book is called, it's written by Ashley Vance, it's called Elon Musk, How the Billionaire CEO of SpaceX and Tesla is Shaping the Future. And they actually go back to his past, because I'm recording this from South Africa, and he was born in South Africa. He is South African by birth. And going back to his story, and what amazed me was what his grandparents did. I mean, his grandparents were also extreme adventurers. I think they were the first people to cross, to go from Australia to Africa in a single engine plane. I mean, crazy. Also, they traveled around the world. They flew, you know, his grandma and his grandpa. So they were super achievers. His dad was an engineer. So, I mean, when you look at the family heritage again, but you look at what he's been able to do and what he's been able to achieve, and the productive capacity that God puts in a person, you know, I believe. So, I mean, that's all, whichever way you want to put it, nature, but I would like to say God. But think about it, and think about yourself in terms of how much productive capacity has God put in you. And there's some of you that God has put such productivity so much greater than the average person. There's people who are almost like chosen, who are almost like endowed with certain intellectual gifts. And IQ is one of them, one of the predictors. I think we go back to Jordan Peterson's take on IQ research and all the research around IQ. But it's one of those predictors of a great super achievers. And maybe that's you. I mean, usually people listening to these kind of things, you are, you know, you've got a higher than normal IQ. You know, you're not really the average guy, because the average guy is not looking for information like you. But just the concept of productivity and the circumstances around which somebody can be so super productive. You start a company, Zip2, you sell it to Compaq, buys it for $300 billion. You start another company, X.com. I mean, these are companies starting from scratch. And it turns into $1.5 billion company, eBay. That's, you know, these are products. eBay, it turns into PayPal. And PayPal, we still use it now. And it's even bigger now. eBay bought it, and it's even a bigger company now. And you're starting companies that have got staying power. And then you talk about how he morphs into Tesla. Tesla is now like, I mean, right now, it's one of the biggest car companies in the world. And it's really revolutionizing the car technology. To get SpaceX, what SpaceX is doing is even greater than what Tesla is doing, in my opinion. Because the way he's revolutionized the rocket industry, and the way he's done it in terms of, I mean, he strikes a lot of angles, you know. First of all, one of the things I noticed about Elon is the fact that, especially with SpaceX, right? So SpaceX is a rocket company. They're making rockets, the commercial space flight, and incredibly complicated stuff. And so when he started the company, he was looking for a chief engineer. And he looked for it, couldn't find it, because the best engineers didn't want to take the risk to come to an unknown car company. And the guys weren't that good. He wasn't willing to risk people who weren't that good to hire them. So what then happened was, he decided to be the chief engineer, and he decided to teach himself rocket technology, which is, it goes against what we taught at school. He did not go to engineering school for rockets. He did not go to electrical engineering school, mechanical engineering school, or he's not a physicist. But then again, you know, when he was asked about him being the chief engineer, he's like, okay, fine. All I did was just took a book and I read and I taught myself how to do it. But, you know, when we think about teaching yourself, we don't think about teaching yourself something that complicated. But it also begs the question, how many things can you do that you're holding back? If he can teach himself rocket science, like literally rocket science, the physics of rockets, the mechanics. I mean, you can imagine that some of the smartest people do that in for years and years and years to get to that place. If he can come into an industry and teach himself that, and to be able to occupy that job, it's kind of, you get to ask yourself, what are the things that you can do that you're just holding back if you haven't put yourself in a place where there's a demand put on your intelligence? So that's one of the things that we can take from this, from Elon's life. And I think I'm going to put like two audios. Very interesting. I'll put the next, what's coming up is an interview of just a compilation of little snippets of Elon, which is amazing. So you're going to get inspired by that. And after that, I'm going to also put something else about motivation. We're starting at the beginning of 2021. We want to get pumped. We want to get motivated. We want to achieve some stuff. And I think Elon is a big example of the couple of things that we highlighted. What are the things that you can do that you haven't been pushing yourself to do? How many people are inside of you? You know, how many abilities are inside of you that are not being developed just simply because you're not pushing yourself enough, or you're not around enough people, or you haven't put yourself in such a state where you have to do something new? So that's the thing I'm encouraging you with. So enjoy. That's Elon Musk coming up. So enjoy the audio.
You know, there are American heroes who don't like this idea. Neil Armstrong, Gene Cernan have both testified against commercial spaceflight and the way that you're developing it. And I wonder what you think of that.
I was very sad to see that because those guys are, yeah. You know, those guys are heroes of mine, so it's really tough. You know, I wish they would come and visit and see the hardware that we're doing here. And I think that would change their mind.
They inspired you to do this, didn't they?
Yes.
And to see them casting stones in your direction.
It's difficult.
Did you expect them to cheer you on?
Certainly hoping they would.
What are you trying to prove to them
what I'm trying to do is to make a significant difference in spaceflight and help make spaceflight accessible to almost anyone.
One of the most difficult choices I ever faced in life was in 2008. I think I had maybe $30 million left, or $30 or $40 million left in 2008. I had two choices. I could put it all into one company, and then the other company would definitely die, or split it between the two companies. But if I split it between the two companies, then both might die. When you put your blood, sweat, and tears into creating something, and building something, it's like a child. And so, it's like, which one am I going to let one starve to death? I couldn't bring myself to do it, so I split the money between the two. Fortunately, thank goodness, they both came through.
What was your biggest failure, and how did it change you?
Well, there's a ton of failures along the way, that's for sure. Like, so for SpaceX, the first three launches failed. We're just barely able to scrape together enough parts and money to do the fourth launch. If that fourth launch had failed, we would have been dead. So multiple failures along the way. I tried very hard to get the right expertise in for SpaceX. I tried hard to find a great chief engineer for the rocket, but the good chief engineers wouldn't join, and the bad ones, well, there was no point in hiring them. So I ended up being chief engineer of the rocket. So if I could have found somebody better, then we would have maybe had less than three failures.
That third failure in a row, did you think, I need to pack this in?
Never.
Why not?
I don't ever give up.
So many people tried to talk me out of starting a rocket company. It was crazy. One good friend of mine collected a whole series of videos of rockets blowing up and made me watch those. He just didn't want me to lose all my money. We're doing these things that seem unlikely to succeed, and we've been fortunate, and at least thus far they have succeeded.
Now is the time to take risk. You don't have kids. As you get older, your obligations increase. And once you have a family, you start taking risk not just for yourself, but for your family as well. It gets much harder to do things that might not work out. So now is the time to do that. Before you have those obligations. So I would encourage you to take risks now. Do something bold. You won't regret it.
How did you figure you were going to start a car company and be successful at it?
Well, I didn't really think Tesla would be successful. I thought we would most likely fail. But I thought that we at least could address the false perception that people had that an electric car had to be ugly and slow and boring like a golf cart.
But you say you didn't expect the company to be successful, then why try?
If something's important enough, you should try, even if the probable outcome is failure.
Or how do you think about making a decision when everyone tells you this is a crazy idea? Or where do you get the internal strength to do that?
Well, first of all, I'd say I feel fear quite strongly. So it's not as though I just have the absence of fear. I feel it quite strongly. But there are just times when something is important enough, you believe in it enough, that you do it in spite of fear. I think about what technology solution is necessary in order to achieve the particular goal, and then try to make as much progress in that direction as possible. I think being a multi-planet species and being out there among the stars is important for the long-term survival of humanity, and that's one reason. But then the part that I find personally most motivating is that it creates a sense of adventure. And it makes people excited about the future. And if you consider two futures, one where we are forever confined to Earth until eventually something terrible happens, or another future where we are out there on many planets, maybe even going beyond the solar system, I think that second version is incredibly exciting and inspiring, and there need to be reasons to get up in the morning. You know, life can't just be about solving problems. Otherwise, what's the point? There's got to be things that people find inspiring and make life worth living.
When my brother and I were starting our first company, Instead of getting an apartment, we just rented a small office and we slept on the couch. And we showered at the YMCA, and we're so hot up, we had one computer. So the website was up during the day, and I was coding at night. 7 days a week, all the time. And I briefly had a girlfriend in that period, and in order to be with me, she had to sleep in the office. So work hard, like, every waking hour. That's the thing I would say, if you're starting a company.
Whatever area that you get into, given that, you know, even if you're the best, there's always a chance of failure. So I think it's important that you really like whatever you're doing. If you don't like it, life is too short. If you like what you're doing, you think about it even when you're not working. I mean, it's something.
So 2021, do you have goals? That's the thing. That's the next thing you're going to listen to. It's such a beautiful compilation of some inspirational stuff for 2021. How we can start hyper motivated, hyper goal oriented, pushing ourselves to the next level, going for gold, going for being hyper competitive, and just living a life that you want to live. And you know, yesterday I was discussing something with my wife, and I was talking about one of my friends, and I was telling her how, as I talked to my friend, I felt like he kind of regrets some of the opportunities that he never took. And educated guy, but things didn't go exactly as he had planned. And somehow, you know, when you talk to somebody after a while and they're in another job and they're doing well, they're doing super well in that job of theirs, and you talk to somebody, and as you talk to them, you get a hint of the fact that this guy feels a bit crushed in. He feels a bit hemmed in. He feels like I could be doing something better, or I should have been somewhere better. And that stuff comes through his voice. And I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, you know what? I always feel like this guy, he's got a lot of regret. And regret is one of the worst things in life that you can have. And I think I always like Gary Vee, who talks about, you know, you need to go to an old age home and talk to those old people, you know, those very old people. And as you talk to them, you talk about regret. One of the worst things that happens is when somebody's speaking and he's got no time. He's now old. And the thing that comes through his voice is regret. The things that he regret. And there is no greater pain than that. To regret, to feel like you never tried and you never got to do something that you wanted to do. So I talked about this guy, and my wife said something very interesting. She said, you know, it's better to make less money and do what you want to do rather than to be making a lot of money or to be comfortable and, you know, not doing what you want to do. But it was kind of basic, but the way she kind of explained it. And she also explained how people are different. You know, people see things different. People have got a different risk appetite. And she's like, you know, not everyone's like you. And I'm one of those on the other side of the scale. I'm super, well, at least I was when I was younger. Like, took a lot of risks, and I'm kind of sometimes not afraid to kind of like push the envelope a bit. But this is very important, because a lot of you, because I checked out my listenership, like people listening to this podcast are usually between the age of 35 and 44. So that's between, I'm 36, so that 35. So we're between that age where you are mid-career, you know. And a lot of guys, you're mid-career, you've got, usually got a family now, and you're in that place where sometimes you get to, you know, you're not really where you want to be. And some people are like that, some people are not like that, some people are going for gold in their thing. But a lot of guys in this kind of, especially in our day and age, because we live in a day where we want to make meaning, we want to do something meaningful, you know. So, and they, you know, the data says they're overwhelming. I think 82% of the people who listen to this thing are male. So I know how you guys feel, and I know, because this is something that you battle with every day, you know, making a lot of money or stability and financial stability, and also, you know, doing well and doing what you want, doing something that you're passionate about. So what's the conclusion to all this? The conclusion to all this is you've got to do something that you want to do. You've got to take steps. You know, you've got your day's job, but you need a side hustle. You need something, a side passion that you start to take steps towards going for what you want to do, because that's very important. Because, I mean, think about it. If you're 40 years old right now, are you going to spend the next 20 years never trying the thing that you want to do? That would just going to be hell on your family, on yourself. And the fact that I could have picked it in his voice means, I mean, it kind of speaks about how this thing is very, if you are like that, people are picking it up. And it kind of makes things worse, because if you get around somebody without that kind of a passion, if I can pick it up from his voice, can you imagine if you go into an interview, if you go meet new people, they can still pick up that sense that this guy is not really that confident in taking risks. And it kind of affects the way people, you know, respond to you. So that's my encouragement to you. You need to start to do something on the side. 8 to 5, you come back at home at 5, you need to start to do something on the side, because that's very, 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 very important, because you don't want to live a life of regret. So, you know, enjoy this audio segment about 2021. It's a compilation of various speakers speaking about going for your goals in 2021, what we need to do, what we should be doing. And I just want to get you guys pumped up, get you guys encouraged, get you guys going for, and, you know, just let's make 2021 a year where we, you know, even if it means that you have to take less money, but there is, you know, you can cut. I like Gary Vee said some very practical stuff, some very practical shit. He says, there's a lot of unnecessary shit that's in your life. Stuff that you're spending money on that you don't really need. Maybe you've got a car that's too fancy and you can downgrade. Would you rather downgrade that car, get to a cheaper car and start, you know, start working in a job that's less, it's giving you less money and it's got less security, but it's something that you're passionate about? You need to start to move towards that. Get your balance sheet, get your income expenses. There's things that you can cut out. And then there's things that you can start to orient your life towards what you want to do. And sometimes it means taking less money. Sometimes it means starting something on the side. And you need to start to do that. And let's make 2021 that kind of a thing. Because if you don't, I mean, come on. Are you going to spend the rest of your life, you know, looking and reading through other people's stuff, drinking beer or, you know, and regretting? Not really. So, so enjoy this next segment.
Well, here we are. A new year draws near. Here we are. But what have we become?
It is time to press refresh. What does that mean? It means that it is time to become the newest, most updated version of who you are. Because a new year requires a new mindset, a new focus, and a new engagement on my part. Everybody say new. It is time to hit refresh.
There are things that you have been called to do that you have never done. And there are things that you have been called to do that no one on earth has ever done. And so if there's anything that I can give you, if there's any piece of advice, if there's any information I can pass on to you, it would be the question, what do you want?
What has ultimately transpired in our lives? What has happened in the year 2020? What circumstances did we all have to face? What has happened to us?
This is a new season. This is a new month. This is a new year. It is a new time for me to find out, where am I going? This is the time to ask yourself, where are you?
Because I don't think you're asking yourself this question enough. Somebody told you to just graduate high school, graduate college, get a job, work that job the rest of your life, have kids, get married, and die. Somebody told you that. But I want to ask you, what do you want? What do you believe you were destined to do? And then you got to spend every single solitary day for the rest of your life going after that dream. What is your dream? And when you think there's nothing left in the tank, look yourself in the eyes and say, I can, I will, I must. Rule number one, you need a dream. You need a goal. And you have to give that goal a deadline. A dream without a deadline will become your nightmare. And that nightmare will haunt you for the rest of your life. You gotta have a dream, and you have to put it on the calendar, and you have to break it down bit by bit, piece by piece, day by day. So number one, get a dream, have a goal, and give it a deadline. If there's anything else you're gonna need coupled with that dream, is you're gonna need hunger. Let me say this again. You have to get hungry. I'm talking about you gotta think of everything you've ever wanted in your life. You have to think about what your father has gone through and what your mother has gone through, all of the pain, all of the trauma, everything you have experienced, the turbulence. You have to garner up all of that hunger, and you gotta put it toward that goal. Let me tell you this, the wolf that is on the hill is never as hungry as the wolf that is climbing the hill. And so you gotta get hungry, and you have to stay hungry. You have to guard your hunger. And the only way you're gonna do that is if you eliminate all distractions out of your life. Deliberately examine the landscape of your inner circle. Who in your life is not feeding you possibility?
Are you ready to attack the new year? To attack means to take aggressive action. This means that you're not just sitting around waiting to see what 2021 has in store for you. Attacking the new year means that you're going to be intentional about setting the tone for how your year is going to turn out. Even if everyone around you is complaining and saying that things are going to get worse, you don't have to come into agreement with them. See, those who expect more, they get more. And those who don't expect much, well, they usually don't get much.
I want you to bump into new this year. I want you to be walking and see a blessing that you didn't expect. I want you to walk into a season that you didn't know you was going to have. I want you to enter a dimension that you can't believe that you're on. I want you to get to a level and say, how did I get to this level? I want you to see something new in every area of your life. These are not your settling years. These are your conquering years. These are not your years where you just settle for an average marriage and settle for an average career. No, this is the year that you decide, I want new, I want fresh, I want the real stuff.
I see the work that I put in every day as an opportunity, not an obligation. I don't have to work, I get to work. The people who do what others don't want to do, those are the people who end up at the top. Don't just do enough to get by. Exceed expectations, over-deliver, and you will find that that same energy that you're putting in is coming back to you. If you keep putting in the work, you are going to see results. The key is being consistent. Consistency is showing up when you really don't feel like it. So what do you want to achieve this year? What is it? Is it time freedom? Is it financial freedom? Is it better relationships? Is it better health? Whatever that is for you, you got to own it. It's gonna be up to you to nurture and protect that desire. Your mind should be so focused on winning that you have tunnel vision. If your mind is all over the place, you've gotta take some time to clear your mind, declutter your mind, get clarity on what's serving you and what's not. Get clarity on what's pushing you closer to your goals and what's getting you off track.
So I've written a book. It's my first book. It is called The Wit and Wisdom of Emmanuel Makandiwa. I wrote the book, I think it must have been a couple of months ago. And I want you to get it if you can. It's on Amazon. Go to Amazon, type in Justin Nyoni, The Wit and Wisdom of Emmanuel Makandiwa. Get the book on Kindle. Also get it on Gumtree if you can, but get it on the Kindle, get it on Amazon, get the book, you'll be blessed. It's a book about my pastor. His name is Emmanuel Makandiwa. He's one of the most influential leaders in Africa right now, probably the most influential man in Zimbabwe at the moment, and who happens to be also be my pastor. So it was almost like a tribute book where I just took a lot of the ideas that he teaches. He's had a tremendous impact on my life, and if you want to know the inspiration behind me, you get the book. So get the book, The Wit and Wisdom of Emmanuel Makandiwa. Get it on Amazon. It's there for sale. I think it's $9.99. A great book. It's not a long book, but it's a very, very powerful book, and it's got a very, very powerful ideas. If you are a Christian like me, you need to get it. And if even if you're not, it's something that will benefit you. And I think in the beginning also, you can hear a little bit of my story. So you're going to benefit from it. So get it, The Wit and Wisdom of Emmanuel Makandiwa. Get it on Amazon. It's out on Amazon. And my second book, I'm working on it right now. It's called The 10 Lessons from Failure, What the World Can Learn from Zimbabwe's Failure, Economic Failure. So that's the basic premise of the second book. So get the books. Look out for the second one. So that's it. Remember, The Wit and Wisdom of Emmanuel Makandiwa on Amazon. So get that. Okay, this is the end of the show. It's been a pleasure having you around. Please send me a message on WhatsApp on +27 65 131 9426. So that's my number. Send me a WhatsApp message. Let me know where you're listening from. It's been a pleasure having you. Have a great day. Please hit me up on Facebook. Justin Nyoni is my name. Justin Nyoni Inc. is my company page. LinkedIn, Justin Nyoni. Send me an email, justinnyoni@outlook.com. I'll get back to you. It's been really a pleasure listening, being with you. Send me a message if you can. We'd love to hear from you. And so have a good day. Be informed. Be blessed. Have a great day. Cheers.